trying again. Let's see if it works.
Welcome to Blog Talk.
Wow.
I'm on the phone here with Alan of Blog Talk Radio. Alan, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
He's our technician. Here we are, the biggest. I told Alan, I said, Alan, this is the biggest show we're doing yet. We have the most valuable player of the Canadian Football League's 100th Grey Cup. He's waiting to talk to us, and Blog Talk Radio becomes Blog Resound or Feedback Radio. Anyway, right now, I'm not hearing anything come out of my mic. I'm going to turn on my buddy. And we're gonna try this now with him to see if I have any feedback, Alan. I really appreciate you being on the phone and helping us. Can you hear me, John?
Frank, we can hear you beautifully now. Thank you so much, Alan, for helping us out. We really, really were depressed there for a minute, thinking that this was not going to be a no-go. But, Frank, beautifully, I can hear you clearly. Carry on, my friend.
Have you changed? Please listen carefully to the new prompts before making your selection. To start your show now, press 1.
Are you still there, buddy? I think Alan, are you there? No, Alan's not there. Okay, listen, I apologize to all of you. And tomorrow when I got to remember to delete that other show, because now what they've done is they've restarted the show for us. For those of you that were with us before and with any kind of good fortune, you're with us again. I hope you are, and I apologize for any difficulty this has caused any of you. I know I've got some callers that want to call in, and they're not sure they can do it. Well, we're okay now. I guess hopefully Chad will call in. If he doesn't call in, we'll do it another time. It doesn't matter. This is what it is. You know, we're basically susceptible to whatever the internet provides us. And for this reason, I apologize to all of you, and that's the end of this apology. Let's move on with the show and begin by saying again, the CFL this month has been very busy at the beginning of the month. We talked a lot about the teams making moves in the last week or so. Now the teams have slowed down. There are a couple of draft picks being passed around. Hamilton, I'm sorry, I don't have my paperwork with me now. Hamilton has made some moves, but the important thing here is that the CFL season is still a long ways away. For those people who are relying on the schedule to be released, the league is doing the best it can under the circumstances that we're under, basically. So I don't have Chad's number, John, so I can't call Chad and let him know. The best I can do is tell Facebook, but it's already 10:48, and I'm really disappointed in this whole situation. But I can do something right now, and I will try to do it, and let's see if I can make it work.
Frank, no one said that being a voice for the CFL was going to be easy. Okay. And it just shows it's not being easy. It takes a little bit of patience, but we'll get there. We're getting there. Let's put it that way. We're going to hang in there. We're going to be the voice in any way that we can to help in any way we can spread the word. This league is a lot of fun. The players are personable people. They're down to earth people, and you know, Chad is one of many in this league that is a prime example of why I watch this game and why I enjoy it so much. So, yeah,
it worked.
It worked.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it works. Buddy's got to pick it up. Pick it up. I'm calling you.
Hello.
Hey, is this Ryan?
This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, it's Frank.
Oh, Frank, how you doing, man?
You're on the air right now.
I'm on the air right now?
Yeah. Here's the story, okay, folks? For those of you that are with us right now, Chad Cackert played at the University of New Hampshire. Now, I don't know whether because we were gonna do this phone call. Ryan Hines is on the phone with us right now. He's a Hamilton Tiger Cat. He's a defensive back. He's one of the guys that waits for Cack to come out of the backfield. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, we didn't intend to do it like this, did we, Ryan?
No, we didn't. It was supposed to be much more creative, and it was going to be much more humorous on the air, yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to spend a half hour talking about Chad. And we've got somebody here who knows. No, just kidding. I am kidding.
I got you.
And you know how I feel about the fact that we're on this program. We're a friend of the Canadian Football League. Yes, the reason we're friends of the Canadian Football League. John is an Argo lifer. Has been an Argo guy. Just to get you up to speed, when you texted me today and asking me who I was and what's this show all about. Now you're gonna learn firsthand. You're gonna experience it firsthand.
Right.
You think it's tough in the backfield. This is even going to be better, my friend.
Okay.
In all seriousness, you're a Canadian ball player. Where are you from? I can't do any research, so the research is going to be done right here while I'm talking to you. So you're a Canadian, correct? You're a non-import.
I am a non-import. I am of a Canadian. Citizenship. So yeah, I am a Canadian. I wasn't born in Canada though. No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Guyana, a country in South America.
Beautiful, beautiful, great country.
Yeah, yeah.
Open.
Phenomenal country.
Open country. So yeah, you come to Canada, I guess, at a young age.
Yeah, I moved to Canada when I was about 8 years old or so, and been living in there ever since, other than the time when I went to school with Mr. Cackert.
Absolutely. That's where you ended up going to school. Now, where'd you grow up in Canada?
In Toronto.
Oh, okay. And you lived your whole life in Toronto, and you went to school. What schools did you go to? High school?
High school. I went to North Toronto Collegiate Institute. North Toronto was like the nerdy school down the street from the big sports athletic school, and we were the ones that tried to, you know, rumble with the big guys on the field.
You did a good enough job in learning. You got enough time on the field to, craft yourself, right? To work on.
Yeah, I mean, it managed to work out in my benefit, actually. So I'm glad I went there.
Well, there's always the saying, and you know, everybody will say it who reaches a certain pinnacle in life. You know, it's preparation meeting opportunity. That's what success is.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
And you get a lot of time to prepare when you're a good player on a school that isn't so, you know, well-known for...
Yeah, it's not as... wasn't as dominant in the athletics when I had originally gotten there. Still a very good school, but wasn't as dominant, and so I got a lot of opportunity to work on my skills. For sure I did.
All right, so now you go to North Toronto, you start playing football,
and
now it's time to go to college. Where'd you go in college?
University of New Hampshire. What happened was towards the end of my time at high school, I was still unsigned anywhere because I really hadn't gotten any game film down. I really know how to get to university in the States, neither of my coaches. So I kind of went to a combine, saw a couple schools there, and made a highlight tape against the University of New Hampshire, and they offered me a scholarship.
Now, so you got the scholarship. What did you take in school? What did you take while you were in school?
I studied pre-med biology.
Ooh, impressive.
Is it? I'm glad.
Well, it says med in it, so it sounds like medicine, unless it's pre-meditation. Is it pre-meditation?
No, pre-medicine. That is my final school
football
goal.
I am impressed. So I truly am impressed. Now you go to a college in New Hampshire, and you're playing as a Canadian, probably with the odd Canadian here or there, but really only a sprinkling with a lot of American players. What was that like, being a Canadian and them looking at you maybe a little weird, going, "What are you doing here?"
You know what? when you get there, well, first when I got there, there was another player who was a Canadian there initially. Like, there was a guy who was a senior. His name was Etienne Boulay. He actually played for the Montreal Alouettes when he left. And he kind of showed me the ropes. But it's a little bit different because, you know, Canadians are very different from Americans, and going from Canadian football to American football, and then going from high school football to college ball, you know, it's a lot of changes. And you kind of spend the first year learning the ropes, and then you got to try to prove yourself, you know, saying that, you know, I am Canadian, but I can still ball. You know, that's what you kind of spend that whole first year doing.
Is it easier on the defensive side of the ball being a Canadian or an offensive side?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't think either is easier. I think being a Canadian, you mean now, or do you mean
when you went to college? No, not now. Now is a different story because here there's the quota, right? There's the numbers. There's the numbers game that gets played, right? And of course, there are slots. We all know that there are slots that Canadians dominate because by virtue of whatever reason, you know, like we don't have that many Canadian quarterbacks. To put it
simply. There's not. There's no Canadian quarterbacks, and there's not that many Canadian defensive backs either. Actually, to be honest,
there you go.
Most of the Canadian spots are O linemen and some guys on the D line and receivers,
That's right.
You got your odd guys who are on the special teams and whatnot. But there are some certain spots that Canadians are usually granted to play, and then you got the odd one who doesn't kind of fit that mold.
Yeah, and you would be that odd one. And in the game, for those of you that aren't real big fans of the CFL, it's important, and this is not intended as a put-down of American players, absolutely not. But it's the kind of Canadian players you have that make your team better. Because if you can slot, no pun intended, if you can slot a Canadian in a position that normally is an American position, that means that you can put an American elsewhere. So,
exactly.
It's important to have really good Canadian talent. So the people who look at Canadian football as if to suggest that it relies on American football players, actually the opposite is true. Canadian teams work very hard on their Canadian talent. They really need good teams. You know, and I'm not saying this because you're here. I would say the same thing if Chad were here. The Canadian content in the CFL is what makes it Canadian football, as well as, of course, the width of the field and so on. So as a Canadian, it must do your heart good to play in Hamilton as close as you are to home.
It does, actually. It was a big reason why decided to do it was because I'd be in front of my family. You know, I just come from spending 5 years away from my family. I'm a big family guy. And it gave me a chance to, potentially play in front of my family every weekend, right?
And no one can complain about that, right?
No, not at all. And, I was being put by getting a chance to play professional football and playing in front of my family and from my home. And it's a great opportunity.
So I always tell people on the air, and I say it maybe sometimes too much, but I am an Argo fan. By virtue of being a Toronto boy, born and raised here, I love the city of Toronto. I love the greater Toronto area. It's my home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much opportunity to root for a team in Toronto that has an opportunity to actually win something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an added bonus that you've got your Toronto Rock here. I admire them. They do a good job for the name of Toronto. They do a good job as well. They do a good job as well with the Argos. The Jays are hoping to do so this year. So, we're talking about Toronto here beside Hamilton. Now, I'm not asking you to comment on this unless you feel like commenting on it. The competitive nature between the Hamilton football fans and the Toronto football fans. The Hamilton football fans are far more aggressive, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. They're very into their team. I'm sure you've noticed that.
And we love it. We love them for it.
And I love them for it, too. And I've said that here on the air. And people who know me or people who were, know me on Facebook as a Facebook person don't believe that I have respect for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. You know, they're waiting for me to, you know, kick the carpet out from under them, right? Well, that's not my intention. So here, this program, you asked me what this program was about. We only met tonight, right?
Absolutely. You met a few hours ago.
Exactly. And I told you what this show is about. And just so that we're clear, this is a Canadian Football League show. It says Candid Frank Live. I had that name, and I told you when I was texting you that I had it out for about a month or so. And nobody guessed why I named it that. They didn't gather the CFL thing. I shared that with you.
Mm-hmm.
This show is built for people like you. You know, Ryan, we admire. And maybe I'll ask you tough questions after this. But right now, I'm going to be really nice to you. Okay?
I appreciate it.
But right now, I'm going to be nice to you, and I'm going to say this to you. You represent a game that goes back 140 years.
Mm-hmm.
A game that basically means a lot to me and to other Canadians. You know, as you know, as a Canadian, if we were in the NFL, we would have but one team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not that I don't like the NFL. I think the NFL is wonderful. And you know what? I'll say this out loud, too, for people out there. I've said it to Chad in private, and I'll say it to everyone else in public. If Chad would have signed with the New York Jets, I would have been proud of him. I would have been happy for him, and this is a part people don't understand, but you got to think long-term, and I know you as a player, you'll understand this. The more players from the CFL that make it to the NFL help the CFL's cred, street cred, if you will.
Absolutely, because it shows that we can go down there and play. Absolutely.
And compete, right? And not
Absolutely.
Only that, it raises the profile of the league within Canada, which is sad. Because it shouldn't have to go. We shouldn't have to send guys to the States to raise
right.
the credibility of the players here in the country that are playing
mm-hmm.
here. Americans as well. Like, remember, I consider the Americans that play in Canada no different than the Canadians who play in Canada. I really don't.
Okay.
I see them as part of the Canadian game, and the majority of these players, as you tell me, you don't have again. You don't have to jump in, but this is me talking now. And when I'm right, you say I'm right. When I'm wrong, don't say nothing.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead. All right.
When I say something you don't like, pretend I didn't say it. Ignore me. Don't, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just keep going.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to make this show something that it should be, right? And which is
mm-hmm.
we're a Canadian Football League show, so I need your help. In Hamilton, to help them to understand, if there's another place they can do what we're doing right here, right now, go ahead and do it. If there isn't a place like this, please trust me. On Mondays, we were going to schedule you next Monday for an interview and to be on the air. You
yeah.
came on a little early.
Okay, yeah. I'm on Argos Wednesdays, yeah.
All I want you to know is, because you asked me the question, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that ask the question, what's this program all about? And that's what it's about. It's about promoting Canadian football, and we have great American players, great human beings that love the game, and because of, again, when we meet, you can slap me in the head, you know, at wherever, if it's at in Guelph or if it's in Toronto when we meet, you can slap me in the head then.
All right.
It's the highest paid league in the world.
Oh no, it's not. I mean, we in the CFL wish it was, but it's not.
It isn't necessarily so. It is business, and you know it's about supply and demand. And mm-hmm. our interest here on this program is to increase the demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in places like Toronto, where the Canadian Football League is almost, you know, we don't have a stadium. For the Canadian mm-hmm. Football League. We have a stadium, but it belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
The owners of the team here in Toronto have their hands tied behind their back. God bless mm-hmm. Hamilton. Next year, they'll have a new stadium, which is theirs
yep.
to use, which they can do what they want with, and you know, parking, concessions, all that kind of stuff. I know I'm talking to a player, but I think I'm talking to an intelligent player. So I think you understand what I'm saying here. It would really be nice if Toronto had a stadium and had an opportunity to be a real business, you know, to be a
It real absolutely
business.
Would. It's tough for the Argos because they're in a city where there's so much competition for, you know, sports attention, right? They've got to compete with all the other major teams. And having a couple bad years, well, you know, you'll lose some fans. And so I think this past season is actually really, really good for Toronto. I mean, I think they regained quite a few fans and probably and then some, you know. And so stuff like that, especially in a market like Toronto, is great not just for the Argos, but it's great for the CFL because we're building more fans now.
Yeah, and we're trying to be and the last thing I'm going to say about this is the idea is, and I see how you've said that, we're trying to be conscientious fans on this pro. We're trying to be bigger than just fans for the Argos. We're trying to be Canadian Football League fans, just like you're being big about it. Now, you're a Toronto boy, right? You're a Toronto
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yep.
You're playing for Hamilton. You're not saying you're happy that Toronto won the Grey Cup. You're not saying that you're happy about anything else. You're just saying it's good for Toronto that they have some success and they could use a couple of different breaks. As a player, you can see it yourself, which tells me you understand the dynamic we're dealing with here.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, the progress of the CFL in general and in terms of getting fans. Now, obviously, I would have much rather have the Ticats won the Grey Cup, you know. I'm not happy that anybody else won it. I wanted both teams to lose. But, I mean, I understand what it could do for the CFL as a whole in terms of gaining back some fans that they may have lost. And so I understand that whole business side of the game.
Right. And you guys have to understand that. And you guys work a little harder. When I say you guys, I'm talking about the Canadian Football League players have a reputation. And we all understand it's not hard for you to be nice to the fans, is it?
No.
And
not at all.
But you guys do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a reputation. In Hamilton, you have a reputation. Your fans love you. They think of you as neighbors. I have a couple of CFL Hamilton fans that I know that are very, I'm very close to them. People don't believe, but that's okay. And they talk about you guys like, you know, he lives around the corner over that way. And are you going to, and they call me and they say, when I talk, are you going to interview some Ticats? And I say, yeah, if only they say yes. I've called your offices. I've tried. So, you know, this is something that we're working on together. It's a game. It's a business. But for us fans, I know this sounds awful, and I hope the guys at the Argo office don't fall off their chairs while they're listening, but I don't care about the business side that much. What I care about is the fan side. Now, it just so happens that what I want is beneficial to the team. In other words, I want to try and show the kind of character people we have in the CFL. I want to try to show the fans and you know, that are interested in, like, I've got this guy, John Granger, who's on the phone. I have him on hold. I have another guy, Jamie Wolodarski. He's an Argo Admiral. John is an Argo for life. These are people who love the Canadian Football League, and they go everywhere the Canadian Football League goes. Now, you're a good reason for us to support the league because you're a Canadian. So let's carry on with your career. So you went to New Hampshire. 5 years.
Yep.
5 years. And you played at New Hampshire. Tell us a little bit about your career in New Hampshire.
You know what? I had a lot of fun in New Hampshire, and I'm so glad that I went there instead of elsewhere. Redshirted my first year, and glad I did too, because if I had even tried to play, you know, my head would have been spinning. You know, you don't realize how fast the game is, you know, until you kind of sit in it, you know, sit in practice for a little while and see how the game is played from the sidelines. Then, you know, after I redshirted that year, you know, I went on, played special teams for the first, you know, year or two, finally started in my third year and then played for the rest. And it wasn't until, I want to say it was my fourth year there, my redshirt junior year, that I guess I got the call from the CFL, someone telling me that I was going to be drafted up pretty high. And to be honest with you, I never had professional football as a goal post school. You know what I mean? I was just looking to do, you know, get my education and I'd go on to med school from there. And then I kind of got that phone call and, well, things changed, right?
Absolutely. No, I get you. And so you show up at the school, not knowing that, in fact, you're a Canadian, you think, well, I've been drafted. They must think there's something there. And then you tell me that you get there, and all of a sudden you go, wow, there's a lot more to this than I originally thought. How patient did you have to be? Did you find yourself almost not wanting to take on, I don't know how to explain this. You almost didn't want to put your, did you feel like you didn't want to put yourself forward because you were afraid to fail? Like that, you know, that point, that tipping point in your life where you have enough confidence to take a chance and take the leap of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the leap of faith from the moment you got there, or was there that little hesitation?
From the moment that I arrived at UNH?
Yeah.
In that first camp? Well, no, I tell you what, when I showed up there, and I remember this day like it was yesterday, I saw one of the players, because anyone who doesn't know, the football team shows up, you know, early before any of the students do. So anytime we show up on campus, you know that any of the, you know, dudes you see walking around are some sort of athlete, and chances are that the football players show up for camp. And so I remember arriving there and seeing one of these enormous D linemen. Now, at the time, I didn't know he was a D lineman, and he was one of our, you know, all-star D linemen. But I, coming from Canada, I had no idea what to expect. I'm picturing these, you know, 6'6" receivers, you know, that look like Megatron. And then I see this one guy, and I'm like, okay, if this guy is a receiver, I don't know what I've gotten myself into here, you know, losing my mind. And then finally, when you show up to camp, it's not as bad as you think it is, but it's also not as easy as you think it is. You think it might be. And so you got to sit down and you have to develop a lot of patience, because especially when you sit that first year, and any guy who's going to college will tell you this: all the college players are all stars in high school. All right. So we're coming from a place where we're the guy, and we're the guy on the team, and we're the all-star. But then when you get to college, it's always a shock, because everybody's an all-star. And so now you're all starting from ground zero again. And so you come from some place where you're getting the ball all the time. You're the guy. You're the guy that the coaches always talk to. You're the guy that always coaches go to being the guy at the end of the bench that no one kind of notices. And so it's a huge thing to swallow your pride. And then on top of that, you know, it took me a little while to really get into the rotation. And so I remember I'd reached a point where I thought, you know what, I made the wrong decision coming to this school. I thought, you know what, I'm not getting any play time, all right? And on top of that, my grades are starting to slip because I'm trying to put all my effort into football. And I was about to leave. Not a lot of my coaches know this, or most people probably don't know that, but I was about to leave. And I came back for Christmas break after the season and told my parents, no, guys, I'm ready to come back. And then my parents had no part of that. They said, no, you're going back. You're going to finish what you started. And I went back and kind of turned around. And so thank God for that patience, because it ended up working out for me in the future.
You know, what you're alluding to is a real lesson in life for many people. I don't want to talk about Chad, but that's down the road. That's one of the roads I wanted to go down with Chad, but we'll go down it with you now. And the thing about football, and I say this every week, and I will continue to say it every week because I truly believe this, football more than any sport, especially in inner-city kids in the United States, is an uplifting experience for them, because they learn that there are people out there who are willing to work with them towards success. By that I mean on a team. By that I mean joining a college. And we hear this story every week from different players. Avon Coburn was on. He talked about it. Robert Drummond was on. He talked about it. They all, and I don't mean a name drop, but I have to make the point that I'm making. And that is, as a Canadian kid, you know, we don't have the same level of, you know, I want to say inequity in society as they do in the United States. It's there. Don't kid yourself. And anybody who's out there, don't even think that I'm trying to tell you that we don't have inequity here. We have inequity. But it isn't as large, you know, because everything in the United States is 10 times bigger, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the sheer population leads to that, so.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, you know, football's a great opportunity to escape class structure, to escape financial status, to escape, emotional, feeling so small. You know, you feel like you don't matter, like you're just a number, you know. And some of these young men have great souls, great hearts, and football helps lift their hearts. Your experience when you were there, did you see a lot of what I'm talking about, where there are inner city kids that were getting an opportunity at life? I'm asking this for a reason, because I'm going to nail you real hard in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Again, you're absolutely right. The inequality in the States is probably large. I mean, I know I can't speak from experiences living in the States. I mean, I went to New Hampshire, and so the inequality was probably not as drastic there as it is in other places in the United States. But I know from what I've heard that is true. And so from a lot of the guys that I met, football was a way out. You know what I mean? And so they used that as their media to leave what wasn't a direction that they really wanted to go to in their life, to kind of change that direction. And so they did use that, and thank God for football.
They had a challenged parents, to put it bluntly. Parents that were challenged, that maybe weren't rising to a level that was fair to raise a child. This is not a political comment on my part, and I'm not trying to be a social whatever. All I'm trying to say is that one thing I've learned about football is that it really does help people transcend a part of life that may be unfair to them and give them a boost towards a fairer part of life. The reason go ahead. No, you go ahead, because I got to nail you yet. I want you to know. I'm going to smack you hard, buddy.
All right. Well, what I was going to say was that, a lot of times they're just in situations that just don't breed success. And whether it's the situation is friends, or whether it's just the community they live in and what's, except there are sometimes, honestly, you're just in a situation where it's just tough to get out. Football, I've found, and what I've heard, is that it just kind of provides that kind of pathway and that door to walk through.
And I'm going to say something else that people aren't going to like. And I ain't saying that football is doing a great job doing it. They could do better, in my opinion. But that's only my opinion. And I'm not talking about Canadian football. I'm talking about American football and American colleges. Now, the reason I brought this up, now I'm going to smack you. With a big old kiss on your cheek. Are you ready?
All right, I'm waiting.
All right? Now, I had a chance to Google now, because now I'm all set up that we had all these problems early. And I'm reading here. It says, Ryan Hines sits on the board of directors for the GTA Youth Athletics, a non-for-profit organization. He began to teach children leadership through their sport of football.
Mm-hmm.
You care to comment?
That's a camp that myself and two of my former teammates started up. This not-for-profit organization that kind of runs football camps in and out in and around the GTA area, and we do little football workshops as well in some schools. And we run this camp, and so the idea is to get kids to learn all the stuff that we learn through football. You know. Teamwork, communication, learning how to work with people that you don't necessarily like, and just kind of fighting through stuff. Football teaches you a lot, and a lot of that translates into leadership stuff and leadership skills. And so the idea is to, like the slogan says, it's to build better leaders through sport. And so we work with most kids that are probably from 10 or 9 to about 16. 16, anywhere 16, 17, and so the idea is to use that as a medium to teach leadership and teach those skills that we picked up through football.
Where have you done some? Where were the latest places that you've done this work?
We've done some stuff in Oakville. We've done some stuff in Mississauga. We've done stuff in Burlington. And we've done right in the GTA, actually.
You've done some stuff in Oakville recently.
Yeah, this is the one we're going to right now is actually in Oakville. That's more of a central location for where the three coaches live, actually. So yeah.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. I happened to be watching CHCH TV, and they had a film crew there when you were doing your thing.
Oh yeah, that was CTV, I believe. Yeah, CTV.
So was it CTV? Oh, that's right. It was CTV. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I just happened to see that. Now I'm putting two and two together and going, well, what do you know? Fate has struck another blow.
Okay. All right.
Hey, listen. I am as much as I it is important to me. It really is important to me. And anybody out there thinks I'm kidding, and I get heck from John because I mention this too much. Our children are the most important people that we have, our elderly.
Absolutely.
And our children. We need to take care of the people who took care of us, and we need to take care of the people who have no one else to take care of them.
Absolutely.
That's just the way life is. You know what I'm saying? It's a wheel that goes around. And I admire what you've done, and what I'm going to say right now, because this is where the smack on the cheek is going to come.
All right.
And this is where it's going to come. You didn't tell me anything about this. I just found this out by my lonesome, as they say.
Absolutely.
Now, this is what I don't like about you guys. You guys don't say nothing. You know, you guys go around, you help people, you do this, you give all this time to the community, you work really hard, but you don't tell anybody. What's your freaking problem? Hey, tell me what you're doing, and I will let people out there know. Do you know why I want people to know and why you should tell people what you're doing? Because you need to pass that good heart to the rest of the world, my friend. And since you don't want to do it, that's what we're here there for. We're here to let people know you're a wonderful man. You still have plenty of your career left. You're only, what, 26?
26, yeah.
Yeah, you're 20. See, I've been doing some research while you've been
talking. There you go. I'm noticing, yeah.
I can do a lot of research. No, the thing of it is, I really admire what you're doing. I admire the fact that you're a Canadian playing football. And I've said this to all the players that we have on that aren't Argonauts. I hope you have a player of the game when I see you on that field when I'm cheering for the Argos. You're not going to win, but we win. That's the best game we've ever had.
Well, I'm glad you're looking out for my best interest. That's nice.
And you know what? No, honest to goodness, I am so glad we made contact today. You bailed me out of a big problem here. I'm sure Chad is sitting there going, what a loser show this is.
Oh, man. I'm going to give Chad a call after this, I promise you. Yeah.
Call and give him my biggest and most sincere apologies for the problems we had. What I'd like to do now is bring in the rest of our crew, the Rowdy Boys. No, not the Rowdy Boys. The Rowdy Boys aren't here today. What I do have, though, is a couple of Argo Admirals who I'm sure want to ask a good Toronto kid a question about football and about the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I really do wish you a good year. And we'll start by bringing in John Granger. He is, you know, he is the face of the Argo fans. And the reason I've got this show going on, I want you to know, as you know, this is a team effort as well. This didn't happen just because of me. This happened because of John and Jamie and a bunch of people. I'm part of the Argo Lifers, and they're the ones that have had my back to make this happen so that I could help, you know, they've basically raised the profile of the Canadian Football League. So here's John Granger. Here he comes, John. Are you ready? Oh, you know what? We'll go for a commercial. Hey, listen to this. I want you to listen to this very carefully, Mr. Hines. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, listen to this commercial.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard? Disagreed with? or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Okay, we're back, and we're bringing in John Granger of the Argo Lifers. John, it appears...
Mr. Hines, thank you so much for being on the show tonight and bailing Frank out, okay? I appreciate that a lot.
My pleasure. I'll do it again.
Ryan, I'd like to first ask you, were you in the city when the Grey Cup was going on this year?
I was in the city, and I made it a strong point not to come down there when it was going on.
Now, that's another follow-up I was going to ask you. Have you attended a Grey Cup? Like, besides, you know, the when you want to play in one, have you attended an actual game itself? Like, I was curious whether or not you being in Toronto, okay, a local boy, if you were interested in getting the feel of what was going on at downtown and the feel of you were watching on TV, I guess, right?
Yeah, I was. You know what? I was. I came down. Because my family still lives in Toronto, right? And so I was down with my family, and I had to do some stuff for the Ticats on the Friday night. It was a Friday night of the game. I actually came down and watched the Vanier Cup. And I did stuff with the Ticats there, so I kind of saw what was going on then. But after that, it was just too much Argo Central, and I couldn't handle it. It was just ripping my heart out.
Did you appreciate the city itself, how it changed? Like, I mean, you know, I think you were here in 2007 when the Grey Cup was going on, right?
In 07? No. In
09.
In 07, was that?
No, he was 2007. I meant if he was in the city at the time when the Grey Cup was being played in
He was in New Hampshire.
Yeah, I was definitely in school when it was going on. I didn't remember that it was here, but I do remember missing it because I was in school. And so this would be the first time I actually seen, you know, all the Grey Cup festivities and how it affected Toronto. And it had an enormous change on the city. You know, my parents weren't big CFLers, and then my mom was just begging me to go down, just begging because she just wanted to experience what was going on because, you know, the Front Street was pretty much shut down. And they just had so much festivities going on for the Grey Cup weekend. You know, the city was really transformed.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you come on a show, and we need to let the Ticats supporters out there know that we do have actually local boys who play for the Ticats. And I was going to ask you a question regarding that. This year, you're going to be playing in Guelph. Have you heard from Ticat fans themselves how they feel about this, and how do you feel about this? What do you think it's going to do to the team? Do you think you guys will be more united because you're almost playing like all away games? Do you think that'll have a good strong effect on it, or do you think it'll be a struggle?
You know what, I think that just depends on the players that you bring in, and
right, and
I think we've got a group of guys, and I think the coaches are doing a decent job of getting a group of guys that, you know, where it doesn't matter where you play. You know, you're here to play a game, and you're here to win a game. And for me, honestly, I like playing away games. I mean, I love playing in front of my the home fans. I mean, love to hear them cheer. But when you play away games, you know, it's just a different level of focus because you kind of feel like it's you against the entire city, right?
Right.
So whenever you go play against Winnipeg and all the fans are booing, you know, the team does kind of band together because, you know, you're defending yourselves against all these raging fans and against this other team. And so I'm hoping that it kind of has that effect. And then you add in the fact that we have some Ticats fans showing up there. I mean, you know, hopefully it'll be a better season than most people think it'll be.
Now, Ryan, Frank, sorry, if I can ask another thing here. You know, you got a new coach.
Yep.
It's you got a new coach that you stole from Toronto. Okay. Orlando's a great guy. When Frank said I'm a face of the Argo fans, I'm just one of the faces, okay? I'm a hardcore face, let's put it that way. And I want to show all the NFL fans out there that, yeah, I'm an NFL fan too, but I support my hometown first. I support the CFL first, you know? So I this is what we do this show for. This is what Frank is committing, you know, his life now to, to try to help in any way we can reach out and give you guys, like yourself, Ryan, a voice out there, okay? I mean, you know, you were going to be a surprise tonight for Chad. And it was going to be, and, you know, Frank didn't even want to tell me about it, right? He goes, I got a surprise for you. I got one of his friends. He's going to come on the show. I go, what? You got to tell me. Come on. I work with you here. And he goes, no, it's a surprise for you too. And, well, it's definitely a surprise having you on, okay, and a pleasure to have you on. So I'm gonna end it here, Ryan. Again, thank you so much, my friend. And, you know, I got to cheer against you when you're on the field, but I'm going to definitely cheer for you anytime you come on the show, okay?
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for having me.
To help, John, to help answer the question, not that he needs my help to answer questions, what I'll say to one point is that when it comes to being a player of a sport, we all know that players don't like to touch the trophy until they win it. And there's a lot of players who feel that way. And maybe going down to the game or to the Grey Cup was maybe kind of, you know, taking away from the experience that you really want, and that is to be there for a reason.
Yeah, for sure.
So
there was no way that I was going to go down. I mean, I'd say watching the game was hard enough, and if I was there, it would have been even tougher. So, no.
Yeah, no, and you know what? It's got to be emotionally grueling to watch that happen. But I'm disappointed in you in the sense that, do you have a brother or a sister?
Oh, I've got a brother and two sisters, for sure.
Then why didn't your mom go with them?
And
you should have called me. I would have taken her.
My dad had a problem with that.
No, not like that.
I'm kidding.
I got four daughters, man. Stop pulling my leg.
No,
already. You know what? Hey, listen. Just a positive criticism. It's not. I don't mean it as a major criticism. Just, you know, your mom would. It would be for next time. This is an old man. Now I'm old enough to be your grandfather. Okay. Now,
okay, all right.
So this is your grandfather talking to you. You should have brought your mother, because when you end up there, God knows when. Like, you know, I'm not sitting here as
an
Argos
fan.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm saying when I say you go there because you need to go there when it matters,
mm-hmm.
Your mom will have an inside track on how to deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? So
I'm hoping my mom is so excited that she doesn't know what to do with herself because she's never been there before. I don't want to spoil that experience. I want her to get the first time there as a mom of a player who's in the game.
Well,
I want that to be her first experience.
You know, I really don't like you. I don't like when you talk common sense. Stop talking common sense, all right? Let's talk like I want to talk. Like stupid. No, you're right. You know what? I'm not going to argue with your thinking. Now, we've got also on the phone, waiting to get on, we've got Daniela. Are you ready to come on? Because I'm going to turn on your mic. You better get ready. Daniela is Daniela Franceschi. Okay. He is he's an Argo Admiral, and he posts on Facebook and on Twitter, and he does stories for CFL.ca. So I'm hoping that you'll be willing to talk to him, and he might do a story on you at CFL.ca. But let's find out what he has to ask you at this moment, Mr. Ryan Hines. Are you ready?
All right. All
okay,
ears.
Are you ready? Because this is the big leagues now. This is the big time.
All
and
right.
Here he is, Daniele Franceschi. Talk to
wow,
us, buddy.
Frank. Wow, Frank, that's a big introduction there, buddy. I appreciate that. Ryan, first off, I want to say thanks for coming on the show. Great having you on, listening to you. Yeah, definitely a big surprise. Was expecting Chad first and then throws that little curveball at us, but it's great to have you on, all kidding aside there. I just want to ask, obviously, Toronto-born kid, you know, playing in the CFL, but did it ever cross your mind? Now you're playing in Hamilton. Did you ever thought of how it would be to play at home in Toronto, where you have your friends and family that can make it maybe to almost every single game? How different would it be than what you're experiencing right now with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
I'm not sure how different it would be. I mean, it's not like it hasn't crossed my mind what it would have been like to play in Toronto, but it hasn't sat on it too much because being so close to Toronto, my family comes up every home game. You know, I mean, I got to fight to see who I can get tickets to because so many of my family wants to come up. And I like I like the idea that our fans are so, you know, as Frank was saying earlier, they're just diehards, right? And so I'm a big fan of, you know, the Hamilton support that we have. And so being so close to the city and just the support that we get out here in Hamilton, you know, it hasn't sat on my mind too much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Also, another question for you. This one is more performance-wise based as for the team perspective, what you guys might be looking at this coming season. You've sat on the sidelines, watched this from afar this offseason, all the moves that Kent Austin has gone out and made, in your eyes, paying attention to this probably closely, I would assume. What do you think this team has that will put you guys over the top and make a run at the Grey Cup in 2013?
Well, anyone who's been watching any of the movements that the Ticats have been making knows that a lot of the changes have been on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, statistically speaking, last year the defense, you know, didn't perform well at all. And so if there's one area that I think that we've made a lot of moves and hopefully there'll be moves for the better, is in our defense. And, you know, even in terms of coaching, getting Coach Steinau over here, I mean, I think, you know, Kent goes out and finds guys that he thinks are going to be the kind of guys that he want to play, that want to play for him and, you know, want to come out there and play hard and win games and have that know-how. And so I think we targeted the defensive side of the ball this offseason. That's just from what I can pick up. And I think if that was our weakness last year, then, you know, we're doing the right thing and we're to target him. So that should hopefully fix the problem and put us over the top.
In my opinion, if I can jump in, Daniele.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Frank.
In my opinion, what's going on, and this is what I've said, and, of course, just so you guys know who we're talking to, we're talking to Ryan Hines, the defensive back for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, a Toronto guy, and he's been around since 2009. He's 26 years old, so he's on the strong side of his career, if you will, if there is such a thing. And what I would like to add is that Coach Kent Austin is also the GM and also the VP, and he has all these other titles, chief bottle washer, whatever. He's doing it all. And here in Toronto, we had the same scenario with, you may or may not be aware, Ryan, GM Barker did the exact same thing. I believe that Kent Austin next year is going to be up close, and he's going to be watching you, and he's going to be telling you what you need to do to improve your game. He's going to tell the rest of the guys the exact same thing. When you break camp and you play this year, he's going to be all eyes on what you can do during, in between, you know, in between the lines and while the clock is running. He's going to be paying a lot of attention, and he's going to become a real, real teacher. And when he does that, the real key season for me, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not asking anyone to agree with me, will be the following year, your first year in the new stadium. And this is what Barker did. Barker came in here, and he got up close and personal. And I think, Mr. Hines, you'll admit this, that a GM that's sitting on the field watching you play from field level gathers a lot more than when he's sitting in the press box.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can see your point on that one.
Right? And now what will happen is, I'm telling you, as now you're a friend of the show, so I want to make sure you're around. I want to make sure you're around, because I can always say we had him on the show. So you make sure you pay attention to what Mr. Austin says, because that dude is going to hire a coach based on what he thinks he has for a team. It's going to be a factor. It's going to be a factor. How you guys play this year is going to be very important on who he hires as coach, because I don't think, I'm not asking you to agree with me, but I don't think he's going to be with the whistle in his hand for more than a year. I really don't. Hmm. And I think you're going to find yourself with a coach next year. And that does. And what I'm telling you, I'm not telling you take it easy, because the next year counts this year. No. If you don't be careful, this year won't matter. And next year won't matter if you don't do well this year, in my opinion. And you guys, listen. You've got a great guy running the team, and I see a great future for you guys. You know, if the Argos can't win the Grey Cup, then for me, as far as I'm concerned, Hamilton is my second choice.
There we go.
All right.
Let me tell you something.
So I've said this before, and I'll say it again. But what's important to me is that we have a lot of fun between Toronto and Hamilton, because there's nothing I'll enjoy more than seeing 50,000 fans in the Toronto Stadium filled with 15 or 18 or 20,000 Ticat fans and 30,000 Argonaut fans, and we're cheering for our team, and you guys get to play in front of a full stadium. That's my dream. That's what I want to see. And then I want you, Mr. Hines, to look up and wave at us and say, "We're going to beat you, fool."
I'll find you. It's just, all you got to do is just hold
we're
that post and I'll
find
it.
We're not. Hey, listen, we won't be hard to find because we're right behind you.
Okay. I guess I'll be listening
then.
Right, I'll be
right
listening.
We're in section 134B, and we invite you to come shake our hand, win or lose. I do anyway. I personally, you know, I would dearly love to shake your hand at the game. I think you're a wonderful guy. And, oh, no, please don't tell me that just happened. Can you believe this? Ryan, I have a funny feeling somebody's on the phone. But he's not getting off easy, only having like 5 minutes on the show.
Okay.
Let's see who it is.
I have no idea who it is. Let's see who it is.
Hey, Daniel, you get your questions ready.
Okay, I got it. I got it, Frank.
Hang on. Let's just check. Hello?
That would just be awesome.
Hello?
Who is this? Who is this?
This is Chad speaking.
I know exactly who it is. Finally.
We said 10:30, man.
I have to admit I made a mistake. I put the
I gotta come bail you out,
Cacker. On Pacific Standard Time.
No worries.
I gotta come bail you out, Cacker. Come on. Here we go again.
Now,
my apologies. Sincerely.
No. Chad, don't apologize. We'll do this again another day. We'll get you on, you know, another day. And I apologize. We had problems from, I had the network guys call me to square it away. They made a major mistake as big as yours. And I hope you'll be willing to come on again. Because what's happened here is we've done the reverse. You see, Mr. Hines was supposed to call while you were on the air.
Is that right?
It was going to be tremendous. Oh man,
That would have been a nice surprise.
It was going to be great. You're going to get an anonymous call from someone knowing way too much about your past, and going to ask you a lot of really, really imposing questions. You know, it was going to be tremendous. And we are on right now, buddy.
Okay, great. This is great. You don't know anything about me.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. Hey, listen. Hey, Ryan, let's save this for when he's on the air.
I gotcha, yeah.
We're going to see how willing he's going to be willing to come through our front line.
There you go.
Hey, listen, Chad, thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. Do you mind if we do a show with you later on down the road?
Absolutely, yeah. My apologies, really, for the botch.
No, please, don't apologize. It was our fault. Leave it at that. It was all our fault. We had problems today. And so don't you worry about it. Now, Ryan, Chad is one of the reasons why I've developed a real liking for the Canadian Football League and the players. Chad is one of those guys that I was talking about. Chad, don't let your head get too big. But I met him, Chad, remember when we were going through that losing streak?
Which time?
Later on in the season, we were we lost 5 of 6.
Yeah.
Remember that? And you came into the Shoeless Joe's.
On Front Street.
You came into Shoeless Joe's on
Front Street.
And the kid comes in here, and I call him a kid just like I call you a kid. You guys are the same age. So, you know, like I said to you, Mr. Hines, I say to Mr. Cactus as well, you guys are young enough to be my grandkids. And he is a total gentleman, just like you. And Chad,
really?
He came over and I said, "Can I get my picture taken with you?" And I said to Chad, "Chad, sure, stand up." because I thought he was sitting down. He was standing up.
Ooh,
here we go.
Oh!
There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Here, the truth comes out.
I guess that was deserved.
There it is. What do you expect, buddy, huh?
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm sorry, Chad. That was just a cheap shot. And I don't you know, and the thing of it is that Chad is a good-looking kid. He looks like a kid that, you know, like you. Like, I see the picture of you. How do you guys end up being football players? You look like boys next door. I mean, Chad is one of the most polite and kind and gentle-hearted persons that I've met in sports. How do you change your egos? First you, Chad. How the heck do you change your alter ego, whatever it is, and you go on that field and you're a dynamo. But in public, you're just a nice little guy. Butter would melt in your mouth. How do you do that?
Well, I was raised by a wonderful Southern woman who taught me the importance of being kind. I guess that would be where it rooted from.
Well, tell her, you remind her, if she's still around right now, we're very proud of you. Now, I don't want to talk to you too much, Chad, but because I want to talk about you later when you're in the spotlight. Right, let's talk about the other guy, this guy, your buddy here from New Hampshire.
Gladly.
What was it like associating with a Canadian kid that doesn't have a clue about the game of football?
It was a pleasure. Let me answer that for you. It was
a
pleasure.
I don't have a... I remember just wanting to learn so much about Canada and what it was like up there and how nice the people were. And I think that was about it, right, Ryan?
Can I just interject really quickly? So... Chad and I often reflect on our time at UNH and some of the questions that were asked and about Canada. And I think there was a mention of a theme song. Chad didn't know much about Canada. And, you know, he asked me a lot of questions that he knew very well the answer to, but just to, you know, poke fun at the Canadian. And then, lo and behold, look where he ends up. In Canada.
Yeah.
I'll admit I was an overly proud and somewhat ignorant American, and I'm learning the truth about the Great White North, and I'm pleased to learn more, and I'm really sorry, Ryan. I'm so apologetic about all of it.
I'm making it out to be worse than it is. Chad was probably much, much better than, you know, most. He probably posed a lot more, you know, accurate questions than most of the people that ask questions. I mean, I used to get questions like, oh, can we come up and ski during the summertime? I mean, seriously, people would ask me those questions. And Chad luckily was not one of them. That's why we actually became such good friends over at school.
You know what, Chad? Don't at all think anything like that, because I've gotten to know. Hey, I've known this young man, Mr. Hines. I've known him for like 3 hours, so you know I know everything there is to know about him.
Pretty much.
Seriously. We Canadians understand how Americans lack knowledge about us. And we also understand how much we know about them that they don't realize we know about them. But here's what I want to tell you. On the honest to goodness, Chad, you know I like you. You know when I met you, you were a prince of a guy. You're a wonderful young man. And we're proud of you. We're proud of what you've accomplished. And we'll even be prouder and tell you how proud we are next time you're on the program so we can talk to you directly. But Mr. Hines here goes to play football in the United States. Where you guys, you people in the United States, it's like a religion to you. You know, football is, and I can't believe that Ryan here goes to play football in the U.S. and learns the game. And now here's your friend in the backfield with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and he's one of the guys you got to create a reputation against. What is that like?
Mm-hmm. It's very fun. I enjoy that. We talk before games, hoping that maybe we'll get that outside run and he'll just be sitting there on his heels ready to get run over.
Chad has a very vivid imagination.
this Ryan, the Argo in me is going to come out now.
Here we go.
I slammed your I'm going to slam you a second time. He has an MVP trophy and a ring.
He does, and it bothers me so much. You know what? I was. Part of me was happy for him. There was a good 6-7% that was happy for him, and then the other 93% was just livid because I knew that I was going to hear about it for at least a year, You know.
Okay. Hey, listen, guys. I haven't gotten to a couple of other people that have been dying to ask some questions. So on the phones with us right now are Chad Cackard, MVP of the 100th Grey Cup, and his friend and also a great Canadian football player, Ryan Hines, a local guy from here in Toronto. Of course, Chad is originally from California, and hopefully one day we'll be able to talk to him full time. We'll have to talk to the Argos again and arrange it again. Oh my goodness, what a trouble that is! But right now, I've got on the telephone. I've got. Let's see now. Oh, hey, let's bring in. Let's bring in. Is it Kingsley? Are you on the phone, Kingsley?
You betcha.
Okay, you got two guys that are pretty good football players. You want to direct a question to both or either?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to both of them. First, Ryan, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, man.
I've been searching out the social media. Do you have a Twitter feed?
I do have a Twitter. It's RyanHines34.
RyanHines34. Very good. Thank you very much.
No problem.
I've been watching Chad's Twitter very closely, and I've been watching his Facebook. He's been training really hard. Did you get any tips training with him back in college?
Did I give any tips?
Yes.
On how to make Chad a better player. I mean, basically the person you see right now, you know, Chad Cackard, was molded by me. You know, I spent years and years trying to teach Chad the game and how to train. You know what? No, Chad and I actually trained a lot together, and we learned a lot of stuff from our coach at school, and even when we were coming out of university, trained together.
Give us his name. Give us the coach's name.
The guy who we trained with.
Yeah.
Paul Chapman was the first guy, and then the guy who we trained with when we were coming out of the university was Mike Boyle. Now Mike Boyle strength and conditioning. He actually is a tremendous strength and conditioning coach, and got us really ready for the combine and our testing and stuff like that. He was actually a really knowledgeable guy in what he does, and so he helped us out quite a bit.
Hey, you know, I wanted to mention something, Kingsley. I'm just going to throw this in. Ryan, do you know where I can buy a decent guitar?
I do not.
No? Because I'm thinking of playing some music and maybe making a CD. I mean, I was just looking for some advice on how to do that.
Well, I don't know about making a CD with a guitar, but I know Chad is well aware of how to make a CD with a piano. Chad?
This is unbelievable.
I know that Chad is practiced, and he's well-groomed in the art of making his own album. And for those of you guys who don't know out there, Chad is a vocalist. And, you know, Chad's musical side almost equates his football side. Chad is a multi-talented fellow. Chad, you want to go on, explain?
I don't know how much detail I want to get into. Listen, I enjoy the balance to life. And you know what? If I'm not on the field or training, it helps calm me down, play a little piano here and there. You know, maybe the entertainer. And I don't know. Yeah, I wrote some songs when I was a young, emotional teenager. Sure, they're still out there on the internet somewhere for anyone to get some entertainment, but I probably don't have all the information.
Hey, you know what, Chad? I admire you for admitting that, and I admire you for doing it in the first place. But you're proof that be careful what you put on the internet because it never disappears.
That's right.
It's going to be up on the Argos website in like 3 hours, just watch.
And Ryan's going to make sure.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind, because I'd like to have some honest feedback, because the close friends, family, they're always like, oh, you know what? Hey, this sounds great, but you know what? If it's released to the mass public, I might get some honest feedback.
Are we talking post-career stuff here, buddy?
I have had people tell me to copyright songs or, you know, get them recorded professionally, but I'm not that talented, I'll be honest with you. I'm very basic skilled when it comes to playing and singing it. I will admit I was in a high school show choir, so I did have a really good teacher who taught me some stuff on voice control. But other than that, I mean, I mess around, and it's just a creative way to get things out, I think.
Well, don't football players like people? Don't football players like people need a way to vent? Because life, you can't reset yourself doing what you do all the time. You need to do something
else.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to use up all the stuff that I want to use in our interview, but another thing that you like doing is that you're a mad driver. You love to drive. Because I'm one,
yeah,
too. When I drive, I chill. I drive all the way home from Florida, almost, what, 21 hours, 22 hours straight.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I love it. I love it. I think Chad will tell you, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I've had a few 20 to 24-hour drives without stopping, and it's a bear. But it's definitely doable. And I'm planning another trip back to Toronto pretty soon here, probably within the next 4 weeks.
And there is something else I want to say. Canadian girls are the best, aren't they?
I know one of them.
Waiting to talk, and this guy's one of my favorites, and I'm going to apologize to him too again. I spelt his name wrong, and he felt really bad. And Jamie, it's Jamie Wolodarski. Wolodarski. All right, Jamie, are you ready? You're up next, buddy. We've got Chad Cacker, Toronto Argonauts, and his friend. They both went to school in New Hampshire, and his name is something Hines or something. Ryan Hines or something.
Something like that.
Well, you know, Ryan, when you win an MVP, I'll remember your name a lot better.
Okay. Maybe soon as I guess. Maybe if I play in the blue, huh? Maybe if I play in the blue, you'd remember my name. All right.
You're up, Jamie.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Ryan. Hi, Chad. Chad, it's Jamie, the Argo Admiral.
How are you?
Not bad. You know, congrats again. What a great season. Ryan, I heard you mention that you were going to be in the Grey Cup this year. I don't know if I missed something, but was there a trade to Toronto? Or
talk me halfway during the season. We'll see how we do.
Hey, don't write
well,
the tie
you know,
off.
They were written off years ago.
Here we go.
As an Argo fan, you know, I can't but help but hate the tie catch just a little bit. What I wanted to know, though, is since you won the MVP and you – I know, Ryan, this is your show, but, Chad, I had to ask this question. What was it like in the NFL, like trying out for the teams? What kind of pressure were you under as opposed to – when you had your CFL tryouts?
Well, it was a real different experience than the first time when I came out as a rookie free agent, when you don't really know the business, you don't know what's going on, and you're just getting your feet wet for the first time. But after this season and after some success in the CFL, and you know you have a city that has your back and a team that wants you to return, I just kind of went there, you know. It was the end of a season. I was beat up. I hadn't been training, and when I got there, I was kind of like, well, this would be cool if it worked out, but I guess it didn't really matter that much. So I just was relaxed. I went and did the workout, and it went really well, and I had really good feedback for it. But there wasn't any really nerve to it. Nothing really, you know, had me shaking. It was just kind of a good experience, and it's nice to know that the people still believe I can compete at that level. But it just seems more fitting to be back in Toronto either way, whether I'm wanted in the NFL or not.
Oh, boy, I have to jump in now. Ryan? Are we going to take this guy on now from what he just said? Do we have to take the, do we have to take this guy to task now? I mean,
I think it's only appropriate.
You think it's appropriate?
Did I say something wrong?
Here's a guy. Here's a guy who came out of Simi Valley, California. His local newspaper wrote a story about him because he did so well in the CFL. What is it, the Ventura something paper or something?
Ventura County Star.
Yeah, yeah. You, Chad, had every right to believe you could make it with the New York Jets. And I hope you don't mind. I'm going to tell people what I said privately to you. Because, unfortunately, when I say something privately, it's the same when it's not private. I was hoping you made the team. And I was hoping that you would make the team as an Argo fan. And here's why. Because I think you're a great player. And I want the best for you. You're part of the Argo family. You're part of the CFL family. And it doesn't mean going to the New York Jets is the end of you being an Argo or a Canadian Football League player. It just means you're going to go there and carry that flag that you've somehow it's on you now. You're part Canadian, buddy. There's nothing you can do about it. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that.
And you know what I said to you, and I said it sincerely. I would have rooted for you, and I would have expected a ticket to the New York Jets to watch you and root for you. I would pay for it. I just want to make sure that you could get it for me.
Sure.
And I would have rooted for you as a New York Jet. Now, the circumstances, you know, let's be fair here and honest. Because, again, here's, you know, Ryan, this guy's just like you. You know, you don't tell us how wonderful a person you are and how dedicated you are to people. You know, you didn't tell us that you do such fine work in the community. We have to dig it up and remind people that you do this kind of stuff. Chad isn't talking about the fact that management changed with the Jets, and therefore they had too much to think about, more than another running back that was coming from where? Canada? So let's be honest, Chad. You didn't get a fair shake in New York. So, you know, forget the baloney. You're a good enough running back to play in the NFL, and if you had played in the NFL, you would have just made a lot of CFL players very happy. Don't make that mistake, because we admire what you are, we admire what you do, and any success you have, you share with us. It's our success. That's what makes us Canadian. You'll learn that about Canadians the longer you're here. Before you know it, you'll begin to understand how unselfish Canadians are and how much we want our...
I really appreciate that.
And take it to the bank, my friend. And if I don't convince you, I know there's a nice young lady who's going to convince you. So, you know, we really admire you, and I am glad that you're a Toronto Argonaut. And I would be just as happy
that.
If you were a Hamilton Tiger Cat, because once you win the Grey Cup wearing the double blue, you're always the double blue. It doesn't change.
And
Ryan,
that,
you have to
sure.
stop laughing. Ryan, you have to stop laughing.
I'm hearing all the Argonaut unity right here. This is nice to know.
Hey, listen. I said he could be a tie cat. I was being nice. You want me to
I got
that?
It.
I even said I was going to have him be a tie cat. Do you
I know.
Be an Argo and fan and say, okay, you can be a tie cat. Really? I mean, I was trying to throw up the olive branch. See, Chad, what we have to deal with.
Yeah.
See what we have to
no,
deal
I
with.
Know. I know what you have to deal with. I dealt with it for 4.5 years, and been right next to him in the locker room.
Voluntarily, he voluntarily deals with it now.
I almost had my number changed.
Okay, we've got John Granger. I want to, I really do hope we can still have you on, Chad. I know we've already had you on tonight, but we'd like to have you, you know, without the distraction of that guy Hines. You know, we'd like to have you on, but right now I want to introduce John. If you look on our scroll screen, John doesn't know this, but John is very proud of the fact, John Granger, he is the Argo lifer of all our Argo lifers. John met you in your rookie campaign at rookie
yep.
camp, and you signed his shirt at rookie camp. He Also, at the end of last year, not this past year, at the end of last year, came into, I think, the last game of the year. And by the way, Mr. Hines, against you guys.
Yeah.
He went into the dressing room and led with a prayer and a motivational dissertation and for the team. And he's, like I said, he's the Argo lifer of all Argo lifers. And I introduced him that way because he's the reason why I'm involved in this whole thing. So he's the guy to blame that I'm involved in this. Any of you people that are complaining, blame John Granger. John Granger, we have with us tonight Chad Tackert and his buddy and equal. Well, if you ask him, he's his equal. It would be Ryan Hines.
Yes, Chad, too, I'll be.
Get the back for the Hamilton Tiger Cat.
What's up?
Is that it?
There we go.
And that's all we get?
Well, first of all, you got to let me know that I'm on, Frank. You can say, John, you're on. I didn't hear the I'm muted. But, Chad, Ryan, I already spoke to you. Thanks for having me on again, Frank. Chad, you know, man, I love you. And when we met 2 years ago and you just made the team a week after, and I saw you standing there with your flip-flops, a typical rookie. No one's approaching him, really. I approached you, and I told you about that scissor kick you did in that preseason game against Winnipeg, which nailed it for all us Argo fans. I'm not forgetting that moment. That's what I knew. This guy's got talent and speed. Holy smokes. You got speed, my friend. I know that November 3rd game that we were playing against Ryan's team, Jim Barker, you know, emailed me and invited me down to the dressing room and to hang out with you guys. And you got to know, and I told you just before you guys were going on the field in the dressing room, I put a good word in. I kept putting a good word in. We all have faith in you, my friend. And, Ryan, this is the kind of love you would get if you were on the blue. Okay,
oh,
you get your Ticat. You get your Ticat love from your Ticat hardcore people, but just know this. There's a new flavor of Argo fans coming about, and they're going to be supporting Argo Nation and Chad Tackert and the rest of the gang, just like we did in 134B. We're right behind you, Ryan, for every game. We're the guys with the tribal drums. I know you heard it at the
really?
Game.
Really? Okay.
That,
no, I've definitely heard the drums.
Okay, that's
hey,
me, buddy,
Ryan.
On the drums, okay? So
you remember
I got my little – I got my Argo lifers there. Chad, you know we're there, okay? Chad's my
yep.
man. And this guy here, guys, I got to tell you, I've been supporting him left and right, putting a word in for him. Every chance I get, I'm drilling Jim about it. Every time I saw Jim, every time I saw Daniel Steinfeld or Rudge, I said, you guys never go. And when Scott came into the picture and we had that town hall meeting, I didn't stop that day, Chad. You weren't there, okay? But we kept on pushing it. This is the kind of stuff and passion and support we want to show the Argo players here. And this is the reason why I'm hoping Chad signed with us here again. Never mind that he's got, you know, a family. I'm hoping down the road he's going to have a solid more connection because, you know, he's got a great lady that he brings to the Shoeless Joes. And like Frank said at the – and by the way, Frank, that was cold, dude. That was cold, the joke about the Shoeless Joes. That was – Chad, know this? I'm going to get him for you, okay? I am going to get him hard for you, my friend. Now, Chad, listen, I got a question for you here right now, okay? You know how I
sure.
feel about you. But how have you felt now that you feel part of the Argo family – you know, you felt it in the college. I know you didn't really get a full grasp of it in your first year because you didn't feel it. But you felt it now, didn't you? Do you feel it out there now?
Yeah, well, it's unlike any other, you know, feeling I've had from support at this level. I've always had my family and the friends and supporters around Simi Valley. But being in a different city, in a different country, and knowing that you have people like you behind your back is it means a lot. And showing up to a game, and you know, you can feel the support. There's kind of an aura about it when you know that you've got the 13th man out there for you. And so it's all appreciated, not just for myself, but from the rest of the Argos.
Well, you know, we're hardcore, and you know, we're in small numbers in that stadium. But I got to tell you, if we get put together in the right section, you know, 500 people can sound like 50,000 if it's done right. And we're going to make
yeah.
sure that the visitor side, like Ryan, you're going to hear us.
every freaking game, my friend. And we're going to cheer for Chad. We're going to be the extra guy. And I guarantee you, those drums are going to be pounding in your head. Chad, I had to do that, okay? I had to do that.
Argo!
Yeah, Ryan's easily scared, so he might hang up
with him. Yeah.
Well, listen, you know what? We want to save this. Chad, you got to come back on the show because we had a lot of people. I posted on the Toronto Argonauts Boat Logo page. You're coming on. Ryan was a surprise to me. I worked with Frank on the show, and he didn't tell me Ryan was going to be on. And when we had him on, great surprise, super surprise. But you got to come back on. We want to repost the show, reannounce it again. You got to come back on and share some more of your stories from the past season and your rookie year, and you know, all the other stuff. And Ryan, we got to have you back on with him because I want to hear some more juicy stuff.
More juicy stuff, I guess.
Please, yeah, we can arrange that.
All
I'll
right,
call
we'll
him
do
more information.
Hey, you know what, guys? I tell you honestly. Let me see now. There we go. Okay, I accidentally cut Chad off. I shouldn't have done that, right? Hey, you know what, Ryan?
Yep.
I still got you there, right? You know, all kidding aside, because now you feel like I can imagine how it feels to be the Hamilton guy in here. Let me say this, and let me say this. Let me say this from the bottom of my heart. I have a deep found respect for you, as much probably not as much as probably you know, your buddy Chad has, but I do know one thing, and that is that you guys have done a great job in being a part of what we're trying to do, which is you know, make the Argos and make football a better place. Now, did Chad hang up?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Because I don't see your phone up here. Weird shit. Huh. Weird. But, hey, you know, Chad, you know what? We've had you on now, and we know the Argos and I have an agreement, and that is that we don't want to bug you guys too much. And I apologize, you know, if I ask to have you on again, do you think it'd be okay on your part?
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Okay. All right. So let's stick with the guy here. Let's go back to the original topic because we had to salvage the show. And the reason why we salvaged the show is because of a Toronto kid who plays for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. You know, have you noticed, Chad, let's keep the subject on the Tiger Cats. Can you feel the intensity when you're playing against Hamilton as opposed to, let's say, Winnipeg?
Definitely, and definitely on the Labor Day game. It was brutal, not just on the field, but you could sense it in the stands. And I made sure that my girlfriend didn't wear my jersey number on her because, you know, I don't know what could happen in the stands out there. You know, some fans can get pretty crazy. So I've experienced it in college against our rivals. You know, people, when we played against UMass, we were hearing about some of our team family members being spat on. I mean, it's just brutal. So I wouldn't expect that from anyone from Hamilton. It's not like out there Amherst.
We're stand-up citizens out here. We're stand-up citizens out here, right?
Definitely. But yeah, you can definitely sense it, and even in the week coming up to it. But yeah, Hamilton, that's a big game to get excited for.
How about you, Ryan?
Absolutely. The intensity is guaranteed, and it's funny for Ticat fans, that's the most important game/games of the year. You know, it doesn't really matter. Not that it doesn't really matter, but I mean, you know, if
we don't
do so well, you know, once we beat the Argos, Ticat fans are happy. You know, the intensity when it comes to playing the Argos is, I mean, obviously it's rivalry that goes so far back before our time, and so that's why the atmosphere is so intense and it's thick, you know, and so you can feel it coming into the stadium. Anytime we kind of play at a Sky Dome, you know, it's we can feel it in the air, you know, it really is an electric atmosphere.
Do you have family that shows up at the Sky Dome the Rogers Center?
Myself?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure they do. Yeah, they show up
in
full
Ryan
Hines jersey gears.
You do realize they sit beside us.
Do they?
That's where they sit, right beside us.
So have you ever noticed Ryan Hines jerseys?
Well, what I have noticed, and what you may not realize, is that John was referring to the boat logo. We support the boat logo. It's an old logo that has been set aside over the years, and we've tried to resurrect it. And in fact, this year it's getting resurrected. And in fact, Chad and the boys are going to be wearing it one game. It'll be the retro jersey that the boys will be wearing. They finally decided to bring it back. Well, we sit beside them, and I take pictures of the kids of the players, because I think they're awesome. I'm kind of an oddball. I'm a family guy, and I really, really enjoy the fact that they bring their families to the game. And I have a – you may or may not know. Chad may or may not know. Well, Chad probably knows. I have a horn, okay? That's my trademark, is my horn. Is Chad laughing?
No, I've seen the horn. That's Ryan.
Yeah, okay, he's seen the horn. You signed the horn, for God's sake.
Yeah. I may or may not have heard that horn. May or may not.
Well, it doesn't matter whether you heard it or not. That isn't the point. The point is, some of the kids, I'm talking one-year-old, two-year-old, see me with the horn, and they look at me, and they're like, they got their arms out, and they're going, I want to blow into that thing. So I take pictures of them while they're blowing into it. Because I just think they enjoy it. And I've had actually a couple of TICAP babies on my hands, on my arms, and they're playing the drums that John plays. So, you know, our group is not just about hating the Hamilton Tiger Cats or the rest of the franchises. Our group is about having fun at the game and remembering it's just a game. Just like you guys, between the lines, between the whistles, you know what I'm saying? After the game, you know, there's nothing stopping you guys from shaking hands and giving each other a friendly hug that friends give each other. And we look at it the same way. We're here to promote the game and also respect the other fans. That doesn't mean I can't say, Hamilton sucks. It just means that I'm only saying it because of the game, not because of them. Am I making myself clear?
I think Ticats fans would agree. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, guys? Like, you know, you guys are friends, and I'm glad you are, and I really thank the fact that you guys are friends. So now here you are. Here's Chad lining up against you. You're in the DB position, and there he is looking at you. Does he smirk at you before he comes at you?
Absolutely. He's all teeth, just grinning.
He's grinning. And, can't wait to come at you. And Chad, how about you?
Yeah.
And how about you? When you see him, are you kind of hoping that the number that comes up is one that says, drive him hard?
You know, I think the last time Ryan and I actually made contact in a play was in 2011 in the preseason when I was on the field goal team as a wing and he was rushing the end. And he almost made me draw a penalty after the play because we were slap fighting, I think, after the play. And one of the refs tried to run towards us.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I can't remember ever dealing with him in college during camp and running into him or anything, but we just have a good time. We're good buddies.
And yeah.
If it were to happen in the game, I wouldn't take it easy on him, but I'm sure he wouldn't do the same.
So that question went from how competitive are you to how often do you bitch slap him? I mean, what the heck is up with that?
You know, we've been talking and waiting for the day that we actually go up against each other. But it's just funny the way that things always shake down. You know, some days that we play against each other, Chad might not be active. The next day, I might not be active. Who knows what it is? But we just haven't had that opportunity, and we've been waiting for it. You know, for quite a few years now. And so when that happens, you know, it'll be exciting.
I got news for you. It's coming because quite frankly, like I said, Chad, I've got a whole boatload, no pun intended, of questions to ask you. Believe me when I say this, I have a lot of questions to ask you in a lot of different directions, but I'll save them for another day. Again, I repeat, it's very tempting. Remember, I'm an Argo fan, so here I am trying to make sure that I don't ask the guy I want to ask questions. So how is that like? When you're on the field and you want to see a play that brings, like, what does that feel like when you, is it that disappointing that you don't get to run into your buddy? Or is it that disappointing that you as a defender, Ryan, don't get a chance to really take your buddy down?
Honestly, it's not even a thought to me.
No, not,
you know,
not really. It's not.
It's just the plays are called, and we run them. And if we get the opportunity, that'll be great. But if we don't, then I didn't have to hurt a friend.
And I noticed how he said he doesn't have to hurt a friend. And I could see by Ryan's reaction that he felt that maybe that was a bit of an insult. Hey, maybe I'm setting something up for the season here.
Chad,
a bit of a challenge.
Chad's been talking like this since our university days, and he's been eating his words ever since. And so I'm not really surprised to hear. Honestly, it's not something that we think about. I don't, you know, we're not sitting there praying that, you know, he gets lined up on the outside. But if he does, it's just more fun. But if he doesn't, not even a big deal.
Okay, let's move on to now. Some of the work that you guys do outside, we touched on what you do, Ryan. Chad, would it be an unfair question to ask you what you're doing outside of football and as far as what you're doing in the community?
I'm not really in the community right now, but I plan to get something started. I've done some of the things that the Argo Communications Department offer us as far as, you know, helping out on Thanksgiving in downtown, but I don't have any foundations going like Joe Appel does or some of the other guys that have set up foundations. But now that I'm a little more solidified in the community, I can start planning that way.
Well, you know that there's one place where you can tell us about it, right? That would be
Where's
here,
that?
By the way.
Yeah.
That would be here, by the way. And Chad, I really do understand, and I bet Ryan feels the same way as I do. As a friend, I'm sure from the outside, Ryan, when Corey Boyd was released by the Toronto Argonauts, it must have been a weird feeling for you to see that, because you knew what that meant, right? Talking to you, Ryan.
Oh, for me? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I knew what it meant, and I was actually really excited for Chad because I knew that Chad had been waiting for that opportunity for a while.
See, I'm not asking Chad on purpose, because that's one of the questions we're going to ask him when he's on.
I gotcha.
All right.
And so, yeah, I mean, when I saw it, honestly, every time that Chad wasn't playing, you know, I know a lot of guys are like, well, why isn't Chad playing? He's a force. And, you know, he's as they used to describe Chad in university, they used to describe him as a touchdown waiting to happen. And I think the Argos fans would agree. And so when Chad finally got a shot, I was happy for my friend that he got a shot, you know, and looking forward to seeing him on the field, you know. So that's more the feeling that I got. I think I texted him that same day that it got released, and, you know, try to find out if it really meant what we all thought it meant.
Yeah, and it did. And Chad, here's something I want you to help your friend here, of course, to understand what it's like to have the GM and coach on the field and discussing with him some of the things that he should be doing differently, without getting into the details about you yourself with your relationship with Barker, because we'll get into that later at a later date. There's some advice that the coach that you know is the GM, and I was explaining to you probably are unaware, but I was explaining to Ryan that when Barker was on the field, he was observing your ability, your talent, and to be honest, some of the things you needed to work on. What advice do you give to your friend here that now that he has almost the exact same scenario where he has Austin on the field as the GM, VP, and all that other stuff, he's going to be noticing some things in his play that in the offseason he's going to have to work on. Is there any advice you have for him in reaction to his GM on the field?
There's not anything I can tell Ryan that he doesn't already know, and he's the kind of guy who's going to give his best effort no matter what in any scenario. So, no, I think Ryan's got it down. He's a professional. He's good at what he does.
But is there not a clue you could give him about, for example, if there's some deficiencies in his game? I'm of the proponent. I believe that this year for the Ticats, in all due respect to Ryan and the Hamilton Tiger Cats, this is not the year they're going to be making the big move for the Grey Cup. And there's a lot of reasons why I'm saying that. Primarily the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who are going to be the biggest hurdle in the CFL this year. And what Ken Austin's going to do, this is a prediction on my part, and I am inferring and I am assuming, and I may be wrong, but I believe that next year is the year for the Ticats. And there's a lot of work, Chad, that you did in the past off season that prepared you for this season. Yes or no?
Yes, of course, of course.
And that's what I meant about, about Ryan. You and your teammates are going to have a lot of instruction from your GM, who's going to hire a coach. In my opinion, he's going to hire a coach to coach the team that he has or the team that he can put together. And I want you to be ready. That's why I'm telling you this like your grandfather here. I'm being your dad here, buddy. Ryan, I need you to be an important cog. In fact, I want you to be the MVP in the Eastern Final after you lose it to the Argos. Wait, did I say that out loud?
I think he misspoke. You might have misspoke.
I don't think I said that right. How did I know? I think you know I love you. I think you know that it was fate that you would call me and I got to know you. And I'm serious about this. Kent Austin is a brilliant football man. And you're going to have a coach in a year, and that coach is going to be the guy that's going to lead you guys as far as you can go. That's my opinion. Be ready for it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm ready. I'm waiting for it.
Be ready for it, my friend. Chad is a great player who was given some advice. He took the advice. Again, I'm using the info that I wanted to use in our interview. Chad, you were given some challenges. You took them seriously, and you worked on them in the off season. When you came back, I don't think you regret what Coach Barker, or Coach/GM Barker, the advice that he gave you for the off season.
Of course, the off season is actually. We have our exit meetings, and we know kind of what we need to improve on, just based on how the season went. And that's something we kind of take care of on our own. There's not really much required work that we have with the team. So that's something that we have to do as professionals on our own.
But Chad, it's good to have a GM that understands the game and knows how to communicate.
Yeah, of course. You want to be able to communicate with your boss in any job, right?
Absolutely. And it's awful handy when the boss gives you good advice, isn't it?
Of course.
And that's why I think that the Ticats may not make a lot of noise this year, but next year watch out. That's my opinion. That's just my sports acumen talking. Nothing else. You know, they're going to be a tough team to play, and this year they're going to. I'm not saying they're not going to be tough to play this year because they're all looking for a job. I mean, they're going to be in the same position you were, Chad. Last year, you know, the year before.
Yeah, well, the way I see it, every game is tough in the CFL. I mean, look at Winnipeg this year when we went and handed it to them out there, and then they came over to our place and we lost to them. And you know, it's just every team has talent across the board. It's just a matter of putting a game together and being ready for it. So there's absolutely no writing off any team in the preseason whatsoever.
Absolutely. But I think the point I'm making, and this is from a fan's perspective, guys, you guys are players, and you guys do what you can. But there's only so much the players can do. You know, management has to buy into winning too. And management has to make the right arrangement and make the right move to help you guys to be successful. And I think both you guys, both of you, have great managers now. Kent Austin is a premier football guy. And Hamilton's in great hands. We know the Argos are in great hands. I mean, how much more does one have to do than win a Grey Cup to prove that they're being managed properly? But I truly believe you guys are going to be You guys are going to have some interesting games against each other in the next couple of years. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, of course.
Can we have this same conversation next year this time, and you guys will still be talking?
I sure hope so.
Yeah, we will be, for sure.
You know, Chad, you're way too serious. My buddy here, Ryan, really has a sense of humor. Ryan, I admire your sense of humor as much as I admire Chad's seriousness. You're a wonderful guy, Chad. I really mean that. You guys do a great job. Let's bring some of the other callers back in. I just wanted to get into that part. And let's go back to John. John, if you're there, please get near your phone in a second. You know what? Hey, you weren't here for this, Chad. Check this out. I told Ryan, I said, Ryan, here, we're going to take a short break. Listen to this. You too, Chad. Listen to this.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Jamie, buddy, you're back up. John, you're back up. Mr. Kingsley, you're back up. Starting with Kingsley. Kingsley, you want to add something to what we've been talking about so far?
Yeah, I would. Hey, Ryan, playing in Hamilton, I know with the Argos that they take a bus trip and from Toronto to Hamilton. And then I assume that you guys take a bus trip back to Toronto for those games. Will you be taking the same route? Do you think you're going to take a bus up to Guelph, or are you guys just going to car it up 6?
I'm not really sure what the plan is for the team on the game days. I imagine we'll probably find our own way, but the team usually provides a transportation if need be. But I'm not particularly sure yet. I'm not sure if the team really knows actually that yet.
Great. I was also looking on the Ticats social media site today. It came up that a lot of the fans are disappointed. They're looking forward to day games, but what I've been hearing from the insiders is that Guelph's a great stadium, and you're going to love playing up there, and they have a brand-new stadium. It's all been remodeled, and they have lights, and they're hoping to get in some night games. Do you look forward to night games?
I think night games add a completely different atmosphere to it. I mean, day games are a lot of fun, but I think I don't know what it is about playing under the lights that, you know, just adds that extra oomph to the game. So I do enjoy night games. I do enjoy, you know, the day games as well, but I think night games just kind of do it for me. Certain players like playing at certain times of day, and I guess for me, I'm more of a Friday night life kind of guy.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Chad.
Yep.
I'll let Jamie answer there. Jamie, you still there?
Yep.
All right, Jamie, go ahead, and I want to finish off. And, Ryan, I have to thank you for hanging in there. He's in Toronto. Chad's in California, different time zone. Ryan, you've been a true trooper, my friend. And Chad, he's a real good friend of yours. He must be, because he came in and he saved our butt and hung in there the whole night. Ryan, thank you so much, my friend. It's 12:30 here in Toronto, and he's still talking to you, Frank. Ryan, I can't believe you haven't hung up on Frank yet. I would have.
I've actually got to head out in a quick minute because I've got to get up early and train. But, you know, we're having a great conversation here, so it's tough to put the phone down.
I'm hoping that we're going to regroup this again. Chad, I'm hope we're going to talk to you soon. And really, Frank, we got to end the show right now. We got to come to a close. I don't want to step on any toes. I'm a co-producer with you right now. We want to bring Chad and Steve to the questions for the next show, and we want to have Chad where he's more comfortable than kind of throwing it to him last minute because he had a time zone different, you know, call-in time, whatever. So, Chad, again, thanks for coming back on and calling us. I think you got my posting when you posted a little bit about your workout today, and you got the number, so I'm glad you called in. Again, Frank, we got to go tonight, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Thank you for holding on. Callers, everybody else out there, Chad, Ryan, thanks for being on the show. I'm going to cut out.
I'll talk to you guys in the next show very soon, okay?
All right, thanks for having me.
It's all yours, Frank. It's all yours, Frankie.
Okay.
Frank, are you still there?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.